What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready. Hey, yo, nicotine salts ain't nothing to fuck with. All right, anyway, that's what I'm vaping right now. These nicotine salts, I'm feeling like it's like some bath salts type shit. Like,
damn.
I don't know. Let me take that back because they was eating people's faces.
Yeah,
off
I was.
I ain't nowhere. Hey, but this, I don't know. Just if you vape and you haven't done nicotine salts, don't like just jump whole ass into it. That's pretty much what I did. And, I don't know if that was the right choice. Anyway, this is What Is TWS Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We had like episode 98. We creeping up on that 100. So please, you know, send us your shout outs or whatever.
So we creep.
So we can make this 100th episode something super dope. I don't know. I'm just going to say it. We did hit the 10,000.
Yeah, we did.
I kind of wanted to celebrate both at the same time. But we passed 10,000 a minute ago now. So I just feel a need to put it out there. Thank all of y'all for listening. Thank you know, for everybody who pressed that play button, as easy as it fucking is, but everybody who pressed the play button, we appreciate y'all. If you haven't, 10,000 people did, or 10,000 times somebody hit it. It could have been me 10,000 times. We don't know.
It happened.
But it happened.
We're excited.
We excited.
I would pat myself on the back, but my work shirt still tucked in.
All right, but yeah, as always, I am J.Dot Flan. That is my brother, Rich Nerd.
Yo.
And we are the White Pants Society.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming back to chill with us for another episode. Man. All right. Elephant in the room. Wakanda forever. Whatever that, you know. Whatever's going on. Hey, I'm a parent. I don't get out that often. So I ain't get to participate in the opening weekend shenanigans. I don't own Kente Claw. So I stayed in the house. I got tickets for this Friday, though. I'm going on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's parents' night out. Daycare is going to keep at least until 10, so I get to get out and do something.
So I think you guys going to like it.
I'm going to check it out. You know what? Like, I'm walking into it almost with the same fear that I walked in to Get Out with. Like it's already been hailed like the greatest motion picture of all time. You know, like I don't want to walk in there expecting this. It's a comic book movie. Like, I have to keep that in my mind. Like, this is a movie based on a comic book.
So, this is what I'm going to say about it. And it's not a... I feel like I can say this because it's not a spoiler and it's not necessary. I'm not going to tell you what's in the movie outside of what's, like, in the trailers or whatever.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think the reason why it's been so highly regarded is because motherfucking Ryan Coogler had a vision... And that shit came to fruition. It's a comic book movie,
yeah.
But if you read all of the rants and the raves and all of the even the put downs, everybody's like, you call him a superhero? He's not doing shit. Like, everybody's saying that because it was a story first and a superhero second. So, like, Get Out had that real, that good, like, character development, that thrill, that suspense. Like, it was all about the back end, all about telling the story, all about developing the characters and giving you an immersive experience.
Yeah,
he did that shit well in 2.5 hours.
I'm definitely interested in seeing it. You know, I'm already hearing people, you know, with the, you know, Killmonger was right. I mean, it seems like there's so many storylines.
I feel like
we're going
to have, I got so many concepts in my mind, and I want to see if you pull out, pause. If you have the same concepts when you leave that I'm thinking about, because it transcends and it goes on another level. And I know a bit about how your mind works. I feel like the conversation after we see this movie is going to be ridiculous. That's going to be like a whole episode.
I tried to record an episode of The Road to Recovery last night. even with my new fantastic, shout out to Tascam, because I love this, what is it, the
DP24SD.
Yep.
That's a long-ass thing.
I love this Porter Studio. Is super dope, and it's eliminated a lot of the errors I used to make But I did it again last night, Rich. I recorded like a half an hour. Well, I talked for a half an hour, but I never hit the motherfucking record button. So y'all would never
get a whiteboard in here. Yeah. Some checklists and processes.
I have a whiteboard and it failed. See, that's what happened. The whiteboard failed. The checklist wasn't there. All of the... There were no fail safes in place. But I was talking about it yesterday. Like I don't know if I should save that for after I see the movie. But like, I'm such a contrary person. Like, I'm such a go against the grain, anti-flow kind of person that I do have like some feelings about all of this Black Panther hysteria. And I don't know. I do want to say this. Like, if we end this, like, right now we seem to be in this celebration of Black excellence, right? Let's not drop it at Black Panther.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and let's be 100% honest with ourselves, first off. Like, there's a reason that movie studio put this movie out in February.
We already know that.
Right, we already know.
Yeah, that was a given.
So the money that we put in, you know, in these tickets and these concessions and all of this that we, you know, we doing to celebrate this film, is great, and it's going to definitely help, you know, continue to push, you know, Black directors, you know, that movies with Black casts and movies, you know, about, you know, Black superheroes and you know, Black main characters, can be tremendously successful. We do need to prove that, but we line the pockets of some folks that, you know, may or may not be with our agenda. And there are some things coming behind this, you know, that we got to continue to support if we in this spirit of Black excellence. I think I put something in the group today about A Wrinkle in Time. And that may not look like a Black movie.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, but the director behind it, you know, some of the main characters, if we, you know, let's put the same, or at least some similar. I know we ain't going to put the same energy, but let's put some of that energy, you know,
that's one of the talks. That's one of the talks I wanted to have with you, because it stemmed from one of the conversations that I had with a friend. Shout out to Mello online.
You know,
I wish. But it's just another conversation that stems off the movie, and it goes into the greater conversation that I want to have. But it's some good points about that, and like, I'm gonna save that to after you see the movie. So maybe Sunday or something like that, we'll
chop it up,
figure it all out. But speaking of Wrinkle in Time, I'm torn on that. Like, watching the trailers, it's like, oh, like, on one hand, knowing the book, I want to see it, but then on the other hand, some of the characters I can't get with, like that what's her name, Reese Witherspoon. All I see is Legally Blonde and Sweet Home Alabama. Every time I look at her, and I'm like, really? You're supposed to be all the fucking omniscient and shit, and you out here in the time verse, whatever the fuck is going on. I just can't see it.
Question for you. Yeah. Is this the first movie where Oprah wore makeup?
I don't think so.
I'm just used to it. I guess I'm used to slave
Oprah. I feel like in Color Purple, she didn't naturally look that bad. Hey. Well, she had to take it down a notch.
Oh, no, player.
I mean, Stedman, come on. Stedman wasn't coming home to that every night. I mean, she a billionaire, so word. He might have been.
I was about to say, keep it real, Rich. Yeah. Stedman married her for her looks.
You know how many people are talking about they want to put one in Oprah?
Wouldn't you? Like, all right,
Oprah's a billionaire.
You know, a billion. 9 billion. Dude. 9 billion. Anyway.
That shit is crazy.
And then, also speaking of Black excellence, I also want to say, in addition to supporting Black excellence, let's support Black trying as hard as they can. Black, I'm on my way. Black, I'm still figuring this shit out. Like, let's support
for real.
True. I see them shirts with the like, I'm rooting for everybody Black. Like, word. Like, let's do that. Like,
I feel you on that.
I can't wait till they get to Wakanda level. You know.
Yeah, you got to get them, help them build up that momentum and give them that support along the way.
Not everybody got vibranium. You know? I'm just saying. I sound like I know a lot about this shit, don't I? But anyway,
that shit crazy.
What else going on in the world, man? People getting shot.
Man, that's too much going on. And this was a bad joke.
Yeah, I see people getting shot and you laughed. I ain't really.
So I was, before we started, I mentioned 18 school shootings so far for the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were talking about just some of the school shootings earlier at work. We had a bunch of issues at work. I was at my desk in between server patching, and I was hooking up somebody's Mac, right? Putting it on a domain, doing all that, blah, 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 back-end tech stuff. So the owner comes down, two of the creative department people, they come over, come in my office, and pause, and they come to pick up the laptop. And the first thing this person says, she walks to the office, and then she walks, you know how the office is laid out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I sit where you used to sit. And she looks down the office, and she sees me sitting at my desk, and then she walks around, and she's like, oh no, this ain't no good. I'm like, what? And she's like, come on, you know what's going on in the world. Suppose, she's like, you already got your door unlocked. That's strike one. Suppose there's an active shooter in the building.
You did.
They come in here, not only is your door unlocked, there's a perfect line of sight from the door to your desk. There's nowhere for you to hide. There's nowhere for you to jump. I was like, go under the desk. She's like, nah, come on, you dead, bro. She's like, what you need to do, all of these file cabinets, empty out the two bottom drawers, connect them on the bottom, just jump in there and hide. She's like, I'm telling you, I got you. I got them ideas.
Yo. So first
somebody came to pick up their computer, and the first thing they did was talk about active shooter
protocol.
Evaluate
your safety situation.
Man.
Hey, they got some good points. It made me think. You see they got the bulletproof blankets.
Yeah.
For kids to hide.
The backpacks too.
Might need to call out a bulletproof blanket.
Man.
Yeah, because they know, that building, there's nothing to stop.
Nah. Everything is all glass front.
Nothing to stop.
No, matter of fact, I think I saw the bulletproof backpacks online earlier, and people was mad because they say, oh, these companies are profiting off of. There you go, bulletproof backpack.
There's a lot of truth to that. I kind of thought that that whole, what was it, the missile crisis in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you a bunch of bomb shelters and all that kind of shit got purchased after that one too.
After the Twin Towers, the spike in consumer grade or consumer availability of parachutes open. Everybody was selling parachutes. I know, and this is sad. I know people who physically own bomb shelters, gas masks, enough rations and water to last, and water and food to last 3 years. I know people who actually have bulletproof vests and gear. I mean, that was before that, so actually, never mind about that one. But parachutes. Go to the house. Why do you have a parachute? You never know. But you live on the second floor.
Hey, man, I think I told you this, you know, before, I was completely a civilian, but you know, they got plenty of jobs. I had to sit through a briefing called Dying with Dignity, where these people basically explained to me, you know, how, well, first of all, that I shouldn't take the same route home. I should vary my routes home. Never wear your badge outside the building, you know. Watch who you talk to, that kind of stuff. And if you do get caught or taken or whatever, you don't want your family embarrassed by what you may say. So learn or be prepared to die with dignity. You want to die and your family to be able to be like, yeah, he stood tall, he ain't fold, that's my man's.
Nah.
You know, you don't want your people to be like, you know, whose man's is this that gave everything up? He gave him the service account password. He gave him the code to the server room, all that good shit. So I don't know. We living in them kind of times where, you know, it's sad. It truly is sad. I think it's crazy, you know, the way, and it seems to be perpetuated every time one of these things happen. Like, one of us do something crazy, you know, it's that thug. It's that, you know,
dude,
that hoodlum.
And that's
one of them
things
do
that
something crazy. Is he was troubled.
First of all, he's 19. He's just a child. No, he's not. What about these black kids that are actually kids that just got teen added to the end of their fucking number? Man. You prosecuting him as adult. His mom died. His dad. So what?
I still remember that Dave Chappelle joint when he was talking about how old is 16 really. With the with the kid who accidentally killed his friend practicing WWE moves, and they gave that boy life. They tried him as an adult.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
And then that's the thing. The other side of the fence, they don't gotta go through what we gotta go through. They don't gotta, you know, talk to that 12-year-old son and punch him in the face just so he can realize this is how life gonna do you. Punch that nigga in the face.
Hey, yo, have you? So did you see?
Oh, yeah, I seen that. I seen that.
Okay,
I know. Tambourine. I
had to make sure that's where you was going with.
Oh yeah, shit.
Hey, yo, he was,
he's still a funny motherfucker.
He was funny, but he was hard on the ladies, though. He was hard on the ladies. That divorce fucked him
up
for real, though.
It fucked him up. He's still paying for it. He literally said, I believe, correct me if I don't know if you saw the interview. Part of the reason why he took this job was because of the hit to his wallet. He had to pay for her, so he had to take another job. And then the side chick is pregnant. Damn, Chris, just fucking enough for us.
All right, but okay. So, but what do you think about what he said? He was like, you know, he hit a few, you know, a couple, whatever. And he was like, I know women are like, damn, you know, Chris, you know, how could you do that? Not you. And dudes are like, a couple, a few with Chris Rock, a few. I think I heard a comedian once before say like, you know, like having that kind of money and avoiding women is like going outside and it's raining Skittles. Yeah. Like even by accident, a couple gonna land in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, true. You don't even got to try. You gonna catch a few. No. It just gonna happen.
And what's the sad part is like, on one hand, you want to be like, that's true. But on the other hand, you never want to really admit that because, you know, you want to have the hope that when you're in that situation, you know, you'll be stronger and you'll do different. And then part of it is how you act. A perfect example. What's his name? The comedian. I hate to do it like this, but the white dude who
they all look alike. Man.
The one who is going after Monique, the redheaded dude.
I still don't.
The white dude who's a brother.
I know who you're talking about, but his name is.
I can't.
It's gone.
He married that black woman. Yeah. I can't remember his name. About. Yeah. Anyway, he said during his interview on The Breakfast Club, he was like, he never puts himself in a situation where anything could remotely even happen or be construed.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the event, leave the event, you go straight to the hotel.
Yeah.
Leave the hotel, you go straight to the airport. Leave the airport, you go straight home.
Right.
There's no window of opportunity where you let shit happen. Somebody like, oh yeah, we want you to do this job at the club. Nope, can't do it. Why? Because somebody, I might be on stage and somebody throw their drawers. I might be on the way from the stage to the back and something happened. Nope. I need to be at this venue where I know I have a safe passage and I can get the fuck out and then go home. You're not coming to the after party? Nope. I'm taking my ass home. My after party is on the couch on FaceTime with my kids. I agree.
I said in the group one time, we were talking about the food thing. I'm like, you know, I'm not famous. So I don't have to worry about, you know, the random joints, but you know, women I meet you can't meet me and within the first 30 seconds of our conversation, I not somehow work my wife into that conversation. Yeah. You can be like, man, you know, I was sitting at a red light the other day, man, you know who sits at red lights? My wife. Oh. Yeah, I was brushing my teeth. You know who brushes their teeth all the time? My wife. Hey, man, I will find a way to put my wife.
That's it's real though. You have to squeeze in. I do it too. You just gotta mention people. You gotta squeeze it in.
But I don't know. Yeah, I would only hope that, you know, I could be there. But so speaking of relationships, since the last time we recorded, Valentine's Day has come and gone, and we talked about like prepping for Valentine's Day and everything in our last episode. I want to say, I'm just going to pat myself on the back because I don't have a work shirt in tucked in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But according to my wife's office, I won the day. I won Valentine's Day.
Say
at
I
the
do
office.
It, though.
And dudes, you got to look forward to these. You got to look forward to these years where Valentine's Day falls on a weekday. Because that is your chance
to shine.
To shine and to get you some cheerleaders in that office. And you need them. You need them. You need them. Because I'm telling you, if you're in a relationship with somebody, a committed relationship long term, with a woman especially, at some point, everything you do is going to get on her nerve.
Yeah.
Not the same things consistently, but over time, every single thing you do at some point is going to get on her nerve.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to breathe too loud.
Yeah.
You know, she don't like your posture.
Yeah, you don't spend too much time together.
You fold the newspaper the wrong way. And when she come in that office complaining about some bullshit you did, you know, you left pinky toenail too long,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but he's so sweet.
You need them cheerleaders.
So, nice, yeah.
So these are the times when you get to take advantage of it. Do something for the ladies in the office as well as your significant other.
I'll make a mental note of that one for next year.
Brownie points across the board.
I make a mental note of that one.
And I did fall back to tradition. I did Roses this year, but I feel like it had been so long since I'd done them that it was appropriate.
Yeah,
you know? And it was, I wanted that romantic love symbol. That not, I don't just love you, I still see you as my beautiful, sexy, white, you know, bride. Like, I'm not just, these ain't some tulips or some carnations. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to know. You know, where these flowers is coming from.
I want you to know.
But I feel like I had a...
That's dope.
And for where, you know, me and my wife have been, I think it was important that, you know, this be a good Valentine's Day. And I definitely, you know, went a little further in the car. Like, the flowers was not... Like, the flowers was almost a reason to be able to send the car, you know.
And that's where you really shine.
That's where you get to really shine. So the ladies get to see the outside thing, the flowers. Mm-hmm. She get the flowers.
And then that little part that's just for her.
That's just for her, that she get to see in the car. And I said some things that I probably need to say in person, but I think I probably definitely got across some stuff that I hadn't said.
Just left it all on the page.
But, man, what else? Something really else relationship-wise I wanted to talk about, but it's left me, man. It's left me. I don't have it. I do not have it. Valentine's Day. Man, what else is going on right now?
Man, it's... So, I usually try to avoid the nonsensical stuff. But I'm just going to mention some of the dumb shit.
Okay.
I don't understand why I get so much press. Lord forgive me. Blac Chyna leaking her own sex tape. Why'd it get so much press?
Hey, I didn't see it. Once again, the bullshit blocker, you know, came in. I didn't seek out the video because I heard, because the funniest thing, you don't seek it out,
it just pops up.
But the funniest thing to me, I didn't see the video, but the funniest thing to me was just she got murdered in the on Twitter for that sex tape. You know, I don't know how bad her head game could have been, but from what I understand, like,
I didn't see the tape. I saw the backlash. I saw the hashtags, and it's just like, damn. Like, and people, I'm gonna say this: whatever you do in your life, avoid being trolled on Twitter at all costs. And if you get caught doing some shit, listen, find a scapegoat quick and just point the finger and lay low. They gives no fucks. Like, they it's horrible. They
I'm just saying,
they put you up. Don't read them hashtags.
Hey, what could she have? I've never seen a woman's head game criticized so much.
So relentlessly.
Relentlessly, based purely off of visuals.
They said the video was like a minute and 26 seconds or something like that.
And then, like, I feel like, and this is, you know, I'm not saying it's from personal experience, but I feel like when the camera's on, you know, ladies tend to get their best.
They tend to do a little better. They
putting on a show
because
they know that the purpose is that you can watch it later, man, and be back in
that moment.
If she was putting on a show and she got murdered this way and on Twitter, like, how bad could it have been?
Maybe this explains why Rob left.
How bad could it have been? I don't know.
Rob was like, you know what? If that's the best you got, I ain't with it, China. I ain't with it. He left.
I'm saying, he could. No, they got a class. It's too much shit on YouTube now. You could have just,
man,
you
know,
sent her to the chick with the grapefruits and stuff. She could have stepped the game up. We could have.
That all over the place got me pissed off. Then who had the baby? Was it Kylie or Kendall? I get them all mixed up because I don't know which one it is. Tiger all upset, I guess, because he didn't put one in her. But what's his name put one in her? Who cares?
Yeah, fucking that's how I feel about that. I don't even have a comment on that.
Will Smith is on his knowledge drop tip.
This nigga is killing Instagram right now.
It's like fucking. It's like Tyrese retired, and Will Smith came up, but he actually doing real shit.
I mean, cause all right, no diss to Tyrese, but you look at the two careers.
Yeah,
and it's like if somebody was going to give advice on how to be successful,
people actually looking at these Will Smith shits.
Yeah, these Will.
Will said it. Oh shit, go ahead.
I'll be running with that. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. That's my shit right there. All the best things in life on the other side of fear.
When I first saw that video, that shit resonated.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, you're right. Nothing happened yet. Why are you so scared?
You know, when I started respecting Will Smith, because I thought he was the corniest nigga alive for a long time here. When he was on one of them footnotes videos for Jay-Z's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was real. I think that's, like, the first time I heard him, like curse recklessly. Yeah. Like, just in regular conversation.
I felt the same way. And that story was a real story. Yeah. And that example he gave, because sometimes people don't pay attention. People don't listen to their kids. And it's all about me being an adult and you got to do what you got to do and preaching responsibility. At the same time, we got to realize that a kid is still a kid and, you know, the work ethic is not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Their breaking point is different. If your daughter calls you in the middle of a tour and calling the whip my hair tour, she just cut her hair. I got it. You're right. It's over. Never made that mistake, and you got to be there for your kids.
All right, so here's a question for you. This is random shit coming off the top of my head since we're talking about Will Smith. I saw him do an interview on one of those nightly shows or whatever, but he was talking about him and Jada being out, and I guess they invested in some water company.
Yeah.
And they saw, like, the first shipments of the water being delivered to, like, some store not too far from their penthouse or whatever. I'm assuming it's a penthouse because it's Will and Jada.
Yeah.
Right. But they had walked out the house, like, with no money. So, like, rather than go all the way back to the house, which is what Jada wanted to do, he was like, why can't we just ask somebody on the street, you know, can we borrow $5? He's like, they would love to give me $5. Like somebody, me asking, you know, this is him talking, saying, like, me asking somebody for $5 would probably make their day. Like, that's a story they can tell for the rest of their fucking life. If Will Smith walked up to you, I was like, hey, yo, my man, I need to get some water. Can you spot me up?
So I'm mixed between two emotions.
All right.
One, oh, shit, it's motherfucking Will Smith. I'll probably pull out a $5, ask him to sign it, and then put it back in my wallet. Like, because on one hand, it's like, nigga, you need $5? Listen, it's a loan. I'm going to need that 500,000% increase.
Right.
Like, you going to hit me back?
Like, yeah.
Can I get a ticket? Can I get an invite to a concert or something?
What we're going
to
do is walk in this store. Yeah. I'm going to cop this water for you, and then we're going to walk back
like the fuck?
To your spot.
You know what I mean? You don't need this $5. Like, what? No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't see myself saying no. Like, I don't see that happening. But I don't carry cash at all.
Yeah.
So I would have to be like, hey, I got my card on me. We can go in here. Maybe you can sign this receipt. I don't know how much I would fan out, though. Like, I'm not big into that. Like, I don't like taking pictures with dudes. And I know, like, that's probably, like, the overly homophobic part of me or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or the overly, like, toxic masculinity or whatever you want to call it. But I'm not a fan of taking pictures with dudes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take a picture. I don't even know if I was about to say I'll take a picture of a dude, and then I realized how that sounds.
I get it.
I don't even know if I would, like, can you just pose for a picture real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It had to be a story you had to take my word for, because I would feel uncomfortable anyway of documenting it, John. Like,
I'm not the same.
I never fanned out.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm trying to think if there's a person that really could make me, like fan
you
out.
You want to take a picture with Jay?
I don't know. Like, the toxic masculinity in me is like, I can't see it. Can't see me doing. I can't see me asking for it. Like, it ain't even. It's not even so much the act of taking the picture or having a picture with me, you know, and another dude. It's more like the feeling of sonage when you, like, hey, hey, yo, man, can I just get a picture? Like, I'm not dissing anybody who does it. I know it's something wrong with me.
I've never felt that way. Like,
I just can't do it.
I've taken pictures with plenty of people. I've met plenty of people between here and New York. The one time that I met Ye, I didn't fan out.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, yay. In hindsight, I probably should have been like, can I get a picture? Because ain't nobody going to ever believe that story. I went to the whatchamacallit. The fuck was the name of that album with the fucking gold foil cover shit? That Tekashi release. See, I'm not a big Kanye fan like that. Anyway, that album, they had like a special release, and was it the throne? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I was there, and it was a special release. Some work friends and I went to, and they were there. But I mean, I've never like fanned out to this point, but I still, I'm like, oh, can I get a picture with you? Or can I take a picture or say some, or I don't know. I've never felt the way about it. I don't feel like emasculated. I don't feel like sunned. If anything, you put yourself in a limelight, so you technically owe me this moment in time. You know, so
I know one thing I was gonna say. We were talking about the like not putting yourself in a position to fuck up in terms of cheating, and one of the dopest things I heard listening to Drink Champs. Nori says he does this and he learned it from LL. Like he used to be on tour with LL, and you can only imagine what was going on in that situation. And he was like, he noticed like L was never had no women, like never did the groupie thing, none of that. And he asked him about it one time, and he was like, I bring my wife everywhere with me. Like my wife comes everywhere with me. So, and Nori said you've done the same thing since then. Like tours, whatever. Wife gotta come, like just to take the pressure off, like just to take the pressure off you. Like you don't even have to worry about whether you gonna fuck up, because you know wife is looking at you.
Plus, it's an experience for her too. I get that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much. I don't know if Tammy got the stamina for like anything like that. I mean, the first time I took her to a real hip hop show, like I took her to see Mos Def. And I got her, like, I got her into that. She wasn't a huge Mos Def fan. I think she knew some of his music. But I was, like, a major. I might fan out for Mos. I don't know. But I took her to see Mos Def. And it was the dopest concert ever. I still remember that show. I love that show. But she came in, like, high heels. And I was like, yo, this is not going to work. Like, this is not going to. Not for the way I like to be at a show. Like, I like to be up front. I like to be, you know, right up on the stage. I get there early, listen to all the DJ shit, you know. Yeah. That's back in my drinking days. I had to, like, monitor my alcohol, make sure I ain't get too drunk.
Be in it.
Because I'm going to be there for, like, an hour or so before the dude even come on. But she was there in high heels. I'm like, nah, you don't understand how long we're going to be standing up, babe. Nope. And you're going to get bumped. And I can't fight everybody in this drink, you know. You might get a little bit of a drink spilled on you. It might happen. You might get your foot stepped on. The only thing I've ever like approached a dude for doing at a show, because you know I'm short, Tammy's short. I have approached people for seeing that we short and that we all the way up front, and them still trying to like squeeze in front of us.
Nah, fuck you.
I'm like, dude, you can stand behind me and still see. If you in front of me, I can't see. My girl can't see. We paid to be here. You saw us standing here. And you don't want to see me.
Those like, be them inconsiderate motherfuckers.
You don't want to see me get like slightly aggressive. And I had a couple of Long Islands. And I get that Napoleonic shit going. I did punch a dude in the back of the head once.
Damn.
we was at one of them shows. We was sitting. But it was like where, you know, there's a level and then a level underneath you. And so his head was like right in line with my arm. I don't know what happened to the music. My bad. That's fucking me up right now. But he had on a New York hat, and I was in DC, and I don't know what it was that upset me about this hat, or if the hat was blocking my view. But I was like fake dancing, and I just gave him one. I knocked the hat off. I just gave him one shot, went in the back of the head. He turned around. And I was like, my bad, dude. I was getting into it. My fault. But yeah, I did. I'm sorry, dude. I did jab the shit out your own purpose.
That should have been. So did he just like accept the apology and just go on with his business?
He just went. I mean, like I didn't even give it a chance to go any further. Like when he turned around, I was just like, my bad, and I just kept going. Like I ain't stopped dancing and like stare at him so we could figure out what we was going to do next. I was like, it was a moment. It happened. Move on. I'm back to the show. I don't know about you. You missing shit, nigga. You might want to turn around. Some dope shit happening right now.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Nah, that shit had me crazy. Did this nigga just hit me in my head?
I did. I smacked the head. I smacked that off of him. I can't even tell you why. Because the way we were staggered, he couldn't have been blocking me. Mm-hmm. You know how I just don't like people for dumbass reasons.
It's like, fuck it. And shit was building up. This nigga.
That New York hat must have been bothering me all night.
That shit is weird that the music just stopped. It was like, are we in like intermission or some shit? Like the show will be back in 30 minutes.
You know what? I'm playing the music. So folks, so just so you understand what happened. I'm playing the music off my cell phone. and I don't have my charger plugged in. So I didn't hit 1%. I'm sure my phone decided.
Phone is like, nope.
Music got to go. Nope. We done with that.
See, that's where you got them wireless chargers.
It's too many wires. Yeah, well, it's too much shit on this table as it is now. I got to upgrade the studio.
Yeah. That's why I got a stand at my desk. Just write that. Smack it on every day. IKEA got them for $10, though. I'm thinking about going to IKEA over the weekend and just racking up. Just putting them everywhere, every corner.
But, yeah. man, is there anything else? I was torn about doing this, but I do want to acknowledge it. We got, so my Road to Recovery series got shouted out on Jay's Just Say Word podcast. Mm-hmm. And like I've said several times in the show, Jay is definitely somebody I look up to in terms of podcasters and a show that I enjoy. I appreciate, him inviting me on the Man podcast, and that was a dope show to do with him and Baby Huey. And I understand it's been some drama or some craziness on Twitter. I listened to the latest episode of the Man podcast when, Jay kind of went into it. And I don't know what he did. And I honestly am not looking that hard to find out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want to give my support to Jay. I think, as a person who has just had to admit a lot of my shortcomings and a lot of my wrongdoing in the past, I kind of know what that feeling is like. And I think I was talking to Tammy about it, today, like we all have these moments in life where we kind of, come to a realization about certain things and certain things we need to change. And, and we got to go start seeking out help and doing things to make ourselves better people. Mm-hmm. And, it's sad when we come to those realizations too late after the damage has been done.
Definitely.
But I think everybody gets there. And in this moment, if that's where he is at the point where, he's come to a realization about something that he needs help with, I want to give my full support. This is no diss, to anybody that may have been hurt in the situation. And I'm not making light of whatever happened. Like I said, I don't know what happened. And I really am not working that hard to figure out what it was.
Yeah.
I just look at him like a brother, and I want to shout him out and say,
I see that.
I support you, bro. And if you ever need somebody to chat with about being a fucked up individual and being and being caught being a fucked up individual, holla at your boy.
yeah, shout out to Jay.
All right, but with that being said, I guess we're gonna the phone quit. We might as well quit. Unless you got anything that you want to talk about.
Nah, I got a bunch of stuff, but we're going to save that for another episode. All
right. So, again, we thank y'all for listening, for rocking with us. We 10,000 plays in, soon to be 100 shows in. Stick with us. We got a lot of great things coming. And until we speak again, be safe and be the light.
Peace.
Peace.